what I feel in my heart so deeply is that we want to reflect our dad. We want to, we are that reflection. We have that DNA. We know that in our hearts. We know that in the core of who we are. But what we desire even more too, and more is that when people look at us, when they look at our church, at his church, they see a reflection of the Father heart of God. Amen. And so we are looking at the gifts of the Father way back several weeks ago in Romans 12. And the Lord said, go back into the previous chapters in Romans and you're going to find these ideas, these heartbeats of the Father, if you will, to more adequately reflect those gifts of prophecy and leadership and giving and exhortation and mercy. And there's seven of them there in Romans 12. So that's just kind of a rehash of where we left off. Hey, by the way, before we dive into the next one, the next chapter, I think we're picking up in Romans 4 today. But I want to ask you guys a question. Do you have a secret place? You know what I mean by that? Like the Lord said, when you pray, go into your closet, right? And pray. I don't personally think he actually meant a specific like room with your clothes in it. It might have been that. But he said, in my Father's house are many rooms, right? In other words, this is a room in the Spirit. Do you have a room in the Spirit you can go? Do you know what that room looks like? Do you know what the door is? Do you know how to get in there? I think you do. I see a lot of nods. I just felt led during worship this morning to remind you about your secret place. I call it like my love connection. Okay? Like that's my love. Here's another word. It's my tender spot. Here's another one. My glory zone. How many people during stressful days or trying seasons, you got to find your secret place, your glory zone, your love connection, whatever your name is for it. The what? Your safe room. That's a good one. Anybody else have another name for it? It's just that place where Abba abides. Do you have that tender place? That place that's just you and him. And you can go in there anytime you want. I was thinking about what's your door look like? I know mine is like, put my iPod on. I'm trying to, usually during this time, everybody's asleep in my house. So I'm trying to worship extravagantly without making any noise. So I'm like. And maybe like a noise squeaks out or something. The dog starts barking. You know, it's just for me, that place of worship, that's like the doorway to get in. I've heard other pastors say that they start in the Psalms. This one pastor I heard, he said, he starts in the Psalms and he just starts reading Psalms. And the Psalm becomes like a doorway into that secret place. And before you know it, you're like lost in the zone. How many, raise your hand if you have any idea what I'm talking about. Okay, good. You're making me feel better. The zone. I feel like it's always important, but right now I just feel beckoned right now in my spirit to encourage you. Be encouraged. Find your zone. Get in there as often as possible. At least once a day, but you know how it is. Sometimes the day requires like, okay, pause. Let me find this place in the spirit for just a minute. Just a 15-minute break at work or whatever I have. Like, let me find that place because you know that's where glory and truth reside. That's that place. It's an intimate place. You know? Yeah, sure.
Okay, so I would also call it, you know, just my comfy spot. And the Lord spoke to me a couple years ago when we had to move here because I had my comfy spot before I moved. I had my place with the Lord that I knew when I got there. And it was this road that I walked on for me. When I got on the road, my feet hit the road. It was me and the Lord, nothing else. And I could just get in the zone. And I had to move from that road, you know? So it was like, Lord, help. And he spoke to me actually through another person. She came up to me one day at a women's retreat and she said, Sarah, I see you circling around. You know how dogs circle around when they're trying to sit down, find their spot? She was like, I see you doing like a circle. She said, and the Lord's saying one more circle and he's settling you. And I knew what the Lord meant by that was he was. And when that scripture says that I've gone ahead of you to prepare a place for you, you know, the Lord was reminding me of that this morning, that the Lord goes ahead of us to prepare a place for us. And so even if you've had a hard time finding that space with him in transition, anything, that the Lord's saying, I've gone ahead and I'm preparing a place for you and me, a place where we can dwell, a place where you can find intimacy with me and you can settle down. And so when Matthew talked about that, I just wanted to encourage you that even if you don't feel like you know where that spot is, ask the Lord, because he's gone ahead of you and he's prepared that place for you and him. And he's just wanting to invite you in.
So. That's good. Amen. Yeah. Is that speaking to anybody? So good. Yeah, so last week I was talking about this principle found in Romans, that we are maturing in Christ, you know, even in that place, right? That's what it's all about. We're maturing in Christ through grace. And sometimes I have to realize in myself that in order to carry the Father's heart for others, I need to have just as much grace for others and for myself as I do for myself. Okay, Jesus said to love others as you love yourself, but you can't really love others until you love yourself. Okay, so those things kind of work hand in hand, but we found this principle in Romans 3 of this grace, that it's by grace we're all saved. You know, we were all born in the same predicament, sinners in need of a Savior. So we're finding that, and that's important if we're going to reflect the Father. It's carrying that humility, carrying that realization that while still sinners, Christ died for me and for everyone else out there at the same time. It's that no judgment zone. Are you following me? It's having that grace for people to be on that journey and for the Father to reach them and touch them, and us to be a gateway into his heart without standing as a hindrance of judgment and accusation. Okay? All right, so that was last week. I just wanted to throw that back out there. And I want to get into Romans 4. Before we dive into this one passage, I had a vision a few days ago. I think it was on Wednesday. No, it was on Tuesday. I walked through one of the doors in our house. All of a sudden, I just saw this vision on the TV screen in my heart, you know. And if you put that up on the screen, I searched the internet to try to find the best representation, and this is the best one I could find. But it was of this body coming up out of the dust, you know, and the screen sort of distorted it. But this is this Adam scene that I found. And this body was coming out, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, I see a body arising in Chapel Hill. For years, decades, and centuries, wells have been dug and seeds have been planted. Some have been harvested. Still others lie dormant. We speak to those seeds right now to germinate and those wells to burst forth. We speak to the seeds to germinate, take root, and grow. We command the wells to burst open, to overflow your banks, to burst forth right now. For every well that has been dug over the last 400 years, God, right here where we stand, we just call upon them, God. We redig those wells of the Spirit, and we dig new ones, God. And we call forth, spring up, O well. Now he's forming and shaping this body to arise in our town that will scare the forces of darkness and release his marvelous light in a powerful way. Has anybody felt resistance this week? Yeah, I felt this powerful resistance. Like, because, you know, the devil's not all-knowing. He's not omnipotent or certainly not all-powerful and omniscient. But he can observe. He can look and see. He can hear chatter and those sorts of things. So it's like there's a resistance to try to discourage or try to distract. But this body's rising. And I think it's like what we've been talking about, the fivefold giftings and all the various other giftings of the body, working and co-laboring with Christ and co-union with one another with great humility, preferring one another, not thinking more highly of yourselves than you ought, like we read in Romans 12. This body's rising up, and I'm going to tell you right now, I was telling Chuck this, there's something powerful in this thing, this body, that, I mean, it's unstoppable. The best I can describe is when we experience another realm of worship, you know? So you know how another realm of worship like gives your heart the eyes to see, and then like this prophetic comes out? Okay, so take that and apply it to like any of the other five gifts. Teaching, okay? Teaching that's beyond imagination, revelation knowledge, like apostolic, you know, whatever it is. Take all of those, and I see all of those rising up in the same kind of incredible power and anointing. That's what God's raising up right now. So I want to talk about reflecting the Father's heart in the prophetic this morning out of Romans 4. But I wanted to share that vision first because I feel like it's an important background as we look at this. That's what God's doing. You guys with me? So here's kind of the principle that I wrote down. Just throw this out there first and then we'll read the passage in Romans 4 starting in verse 16. What I felt like the Lord was saying to me is in order, Matthew, I just make it personal. In order, Matthew, for you to reflect the Father and anybody else for that matter, I need to own, declare, speak out, and even prophesy in the full faith of Christ that we find in Abraham. I need to own it. I got to declare it. I must speak it. And all those combined are prophesying it in order to reflect the full faith of Christ that we really find in Abraham. Abraham, you know, his prophetic destiny was to be the father of many nations who made possible a life lived in faith for us all. I think it's wild because Abraham, that's like all those centuries ago, this millennium ago now, 4,000 years ago, it's like he prophesied things through his own mouth and in his heart that we even see coming forth in our lives. You know, that's why he's our father, you know, because a father, first gift in Romans 12, gift of the father, is prophecy. Again, it's that identity. It's that being. It's that purpose. There's such a great purpose. And you know, when we just go through life, going to work and raising our kids and going through whatever we're doing, little by little, without a prophetic destiny, a prophetic identity, it all starts to become slightly meaningless. Has anybody ever experienced that? Until, hello, reminder, you're just in preparation for something. This is just a warm-up for a greater thing. You are born, you're going to be born into eternity. This life here is just a warm-up. But in the life, we prepare for that eternal destination in our prophetic destiny that started all those millennium ago with Abraham. I don't know, that's pretty cool to me. Abraham was such a beautiful reflection of our Father. What an incredible guy. Let's read about him. Romans 4:16, again, in the Passion Translation is where I'm at. Still, I'm just going to kind of go through this slowly and see what the Holy Spirit says. The promise depends on faith. We could stop right there. The promise depends on faith, so that it can be experienced as a grace gift. See that? It's not anything we've earned. It's not anything we deserved. But it's a promise still, depending on our faith. And now it extends to all the descendants of Abraham. Tap your neighbor and say, "That's you." Just in case they forgot. That's you, Eva. That's you, Chuck. That's you, Esther and Tim and everybody in between and Gabe. Everybody, that's you. The promise is for you. Wake up in the morning and read this and say, "That promise is for me. That promise is for me, dadgummit, even if I don't feel it, even if I don't remember it, even if I can't tie my laces and remember what in the world I'm here for, what am I doing?" God says the promise is for you. The promise is fulfilled to Abraham in you, extends to the descendants of Abraham. The promise is not only meant for those who obey the law, like back in the old covenant, but also to those who enter into the faith of Abraham, the father of us all. Lord, we want to enter into the faith of Abraham this morning. Yeah. We want to just receive this impartation. We want to enter into the faith of Abraham. Ooh, the faith of Abraham. Can you imagine, guys, if we had the faith of Abraham, the father of many nations? Okay, let's keep going. That's what the scripture means when it says, "I have made you the father of many nations." A friend of mine once told me it's a very humbling word. She said she had this word for me, that I was called to be a father of Chapel Hill. Like, oh gosh, that's scary, humbling, and I don't even know what that means. But I think it's an inheritance of Abraham, not just for me, but for all of us. And what it means is we carry the Father's heart. If we carry the Father's heart, then we carry His reflection. Therefore, we carry Father Abraham's heart for Chapel Hill and the region. You know, I just speak of Chapel Hill because that's where we currently are sitting, right? And that's where we're established. So what we're going to do is, in a few minutes, I'm going to bring Eva back up to just strum the guitar a little bit. And we're going to believe God. Get this, this is going to be exciting. We're going to believe God for a download of the faith of Abraham. I just want us all to join hands in a few minutes, not yet, after we finish reading. I want to join hands and believe that by the Spirit of God, that there will be a faith of Abraham come into us, imparted into this church. Amen. That's what the scripture means when it says, "I made you the father of me." Okay, now check this next phrase out. "He is our example and father. For in God's presence, he believed that God can raise the dead and call into being things that don't even exist yet." Do you believe God can raise the dead? Do you believe God will raise the dead? Do you believe that at the final day, at the trumpet call, all the dead in Christ will rise? Again, that means this is just a warm-up. We're all going to die, but we're all coming back. In other words, we're all going to live with Him. This flesh will die, but Christ will raise the dead. We're going to walk with Him. We're going to see that all the purpose for which we were created from the very beginning, for eternity. I just want to remind you of what your inheritance is. Whether it's money in this life, riches, wealth, or whatever it is, that's great, but it's irrelevant compared to the all-surpassing greatness of what you're being prepared for. This is who you are because of Abraham. This is who you are. This is what our destinies are. When we walk into that greatness in eternity, it's an eternal calling. It's an eternal destiny. Therefore, I'm not distracted by what the world is distracted by. I'm not going to run after those things. You seek first the kingdom, and all those things will be added. They will. I believe in that. You know, it's not like those things, those temporal things, are evil in and of themselves. But as you're running after the kingdom, the faith of your father Abraham, those things will be added to serve what God has established in you for eternity, to serve a greater purpose. God can raise the dead and call into being things that don't even exist yet. Here's one primary purpose of the prophetic that He's put in our hearts through the Father's heart, is calling forth things that don't even exist yet. Have you ever done that before? Sure you have. It's hard to do sometimes. Why? Because they don't exist. So what am I calling forth? Something that doesn't exist. Well, how do I do that? Just like He said, let there be light. Light did not exist yet. So this creative nature of our Abba, of our Papa, He's putting inside of our hearts to declare, to speak out, to prophesy, not just on out of our own human imagination, but out of those things that He's showing us. That's why I wanted to start off with that vision that He gave me of that body and begin to speak and declare forth those wells. I don't know what those are. I don't know what they look like. I can't put words to them particularly. I don't know what seeds were planted specifically. I might be able to find out a few from Tracy, you know, in all her years of the Transformations Group and all the, you know, we can find those out and we can. That's good. But those things that we don't even know what they are, by His Spirit, He can show us. And we begin to call them forth. Why am I saying all this? I don't know entirely. I think it's because God's preparing us as a body for something. It's to prophesy in the context of Abraham's heart. Against all odds, back to the story with him, when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it. He took God at His word, and as a result, he became the father of many nations. Against all odds, when it looked hopeless. Has anybody ever had a situation like that? Has anybody ever not had a situation like that? Against all odds, when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed. I was telling you this morning, not me, but God, the Word of God. Here's the only prerequisite for faith is just belief. Against all odds, when it looks hopeless, God, I believe. And if you have to, like that dad in the Bible, God, I believe, help my unbelief. Right? That's an honest prayer. God, I believe, help my unbelief. In his life, that was kind of personified by Abraham. Because, you know, we look at hindsight and Romans, Paul's writing in hindsight of the man of faith. But we know that there were snippets in his life where he wasn't exactly walking in that, oh, great man of faith, was he? Like, do you remember Hagar? You remember the birth of Ishmael? All these things. But yet when he's remembered as a man against all odds when it looked hopeless. Abraham believed. Yeah. Okay? So despite what the accuser comes and says, yeah, but you remember how you messed up in your belief? Yeah, but you remember those times when you doubted God? Yeah, but what about right now, even right now where you're sitting when you doubt God? I don't care. Be quiet. Because it's by grace that I'm going to believe. In other words, it's not because I earned it. It's not because I deserve it. I might not even deserve it right now, right this very moment. But on the hope of my father Abraham, on the faith of him, it's Christ's faith, not yours. It's rising up in your heart to believe. God's declaration, I'll go on to the next verse, over him came to pass. Your descendants, it says, will be so many that they will be impossible to count. That was his prophetic destiny. And we're sitting here this morning as a fulfillment of that very statement. We're a descendant. There's no way he could count them. He didn't even know us. He didn't even know we would exist in his lifetime. In spite of being nearly 100 years old when the promise of having a son was made, his faith was so strong that it could not be undermined by the fact that he and Sarah were incapable of conceiving a child. Everybody say incapable.
Incapable.
I think that word goes back to last week. It's a no judgment zone. It's by grace I have been saved, not anything of myself. It's incapable. We are incapable of anything in the natural. This is incapable. There are so many things in life that are just unattainable, incapable. I just can't make it happen. Good. That's a good place to be. It's a good thing to feel right now. I know it doesn't always feel good, but it is good because like Abraham and Sarah, in the natural, she was past being able to have a baby. They could not make this happen. But he never stopped believing God's promise. And look at the next statement. For he was made strong in his faith to father a child. We need to own this. We get to make this ours. We need to get this deep in our core, this statement, he was made strong in his faith. Whose faith was it? It wasn't Abraham's. It was what I like to call the Galatians 2:20 faith. It was the faith of Christ. You know, Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I love that because Paul's saying, I live faith, it's not mine. I'm living his faith that he puts in me. It's kind of like in the Gospels where he says, my peace I leave with you to the disciples. I love that statement because I'm thinking, oh, I'm glad he left his peace because mine's lousy. I'm glad I don't have to rely on my peace. My peace is very minute. It's maybe a little bit of something, but my peace isn't much. But it's okay because you don't have to have your peace. You got his. You've got his. It's the same way with faith. Faith works this way. It's a gift not in and of yourselves, just like salvation or peace. He gives you his faith.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a gift. And I believe this gift was given to Abraham. And we read it in Romans because it's supposed to be our ongoing example. It's an ongoing example to say, you don't have faith? That's all right, because he's got his for you. I heard one pastor who moves in the gift of healing say that when he's praying for the sick, sometimes there's people who are sick that just don't feel like they have the faith for what they need for God to touch them. And he said, you know, biblically, what it relies upon is the faith of the person praying, not necessarily the person receiving. So he said to this one woman who made that statement, I just don't feel like I have the faith. He goes, that's all right. I've got enough for both of us. Just rely on my faith. In other words, not his faith literally, but Christ's faith. There's a deep, deep faith. As we join hands this morning, I believe that by his spirit, we can receive that.
Yeah.
Well, how we do that? Just believe by faith. That's right. Or another way to say it is, if you study the life of Abraham in the New Testament, and we're just in one of many, it says, just believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He just believed. He just believed. And he just believed. It wasn't about keeping the law. As you read deeper in Romans, Paul gives a whole sermon about that, a whole teaching. Because this was before the law came. Abram didn't even have the law yet. That didn't come until Moses, right? Abraham is just, he just believed.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I can do that. I mean, little old me, I've got enough faith for that. I can just believe.
Yeah.
Even in hopeless situations, I know I'm incapable, but I can just believe. that he who raised the dead has the faith that I need. An impartation of that faith.
Yeah.
We may even see like our father Abraham from the great cloud of witnesses laying his hands upon our heads this morning. Like an impartation of faith. Let's wrap this up so we can pray. Here's the now word too that I got this week. I was sharing with some guys earlier. God is increasing our corporate measure of faith right now. That's a part of this prayer, this impartation. In Romans 12:3, he wrote back over to Romans 12 that God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So sovereignly, when you were saved, like there was this amount of faith. In other words, this amount, the substance of belief in you that God just sovereignly gave you. But I don't believe that it's to imply that that's all you get. Okay. In other words, if you see faith, or your measure of faith is like this water bottle this morning, you can fill this water bottle to so much before it starts overflowing, and that's all you can put in it. But if you were to get a bigger container, and this water bottle became a bigger water canister, and that water canister became a bucket, and that bucket became a huge tub, and that tub became a keg, and that keg, you know, whatever, the biggest container, that container became like those water things around town that actually hold the city water supply. That's what I see. I saw this, got this word this week, is God is increasing our corporate measure of faith. That's why I want to join hands with you. Because it's not just me or you or you. Yes, maybe so. But when we come into agreement,
yeah,
it's like a cluster bomb of faith can go off.
That's right.
It spreads like wildfire, and it encompasses all of us. And it's beyond what one or two of us even could accomplish or have.
Yeah.
Then I was like, well, why? He said, Matthew, I'm going to ask this church to believe for things that you don't currently have the faith for. I'm like, oh, okay. So you remember that you don't know what you don't know thing? It was kind of like that. Like, you don't know what you don't know. In other words, you don't know what I'm going to ask you to believe for. And you don't know that you don't currently possess the container of faith for what I'm going to ask you to believe for. I'm like, okay. But he does. And he said, I want to increase that. Okay. So are you with me? So again, as we join hands, we're going to receive that impartation and see that container of faith just increase within us all. Okay, let me finish up. I don't remember what verse T I'm in, but and because he was mighty in faith and convinced that God, there it is, had, oh no, that's not the one I'm on. It was? Oh, yeah, go back one slide. I'm sorry, my bad. Yeah, you're right, in the middle. And because he was mighty in faith and convinced that God has all the power needed to fulfill his promises, Abraham glorified God. Abraham glorified God.
Wow.
He was mighty in faith, convinced that God had all the power needed to fulfill his promises. Abraham glorified God. Do you think that God fulfilled the promise in the way Abraham expected at first? I think it's probably clear no. Have you ever experienced that? That's another important principle of the prophetic, is the way in which God keeps and fulfills his promises are often not the way we expected. You know, have you ever seen something spiritually, or you got a word from God and you automatically like interpreted it and kind of put feet to that vision, and then a little time went by and it's like, oh, wait, that's coming true, but it sure doesn't look like I thought it was going to. You know, I think that's important. I just want to throw that out here, too. It was important for Abraham. I think eventually he caught on, and that's how he could keep the faith going, but he definitely, it was not happening like he expected it to be. When he got this grandiose prophecy, go look at those stars and consider the sand on the seashore. That's how many, and he's thinking big family, lots of kids, lots of grandkids. And it wasn't happening. You know, I was just, as just a quick illustration, God said, move to Chapel Hill, establish a home for my presence. This was over about five summers ago now. It was exactly four years ago on July 21st, we drove these two 26-foot U-Hauls as a family into Chapel Hill. But back then, five summers ago, when we were getting the word, the Lord said, you go to Chapel Hill and you'll have a team. Remember that? So it's like team. Sarah got this word from the Lord about fishing nets in other places where you have these big nets and it takes a team to pull in the fish. We're like, yes, this word is so good. And at least moving here, because the Lord gave us team with the Kims and the Marillos and others and the Spargos. But in terms of team that we thought the Lord was sending with us, we had that team initially coming from Mooresville, but by the time we actually moved here, there was no team. Like, the team was us and our kids, you know, coming from Mooresville. But 2 years ago, this month, I got multiple phone calls and announcements from the stars. Hey, we believe God's moving us to Chapel Hill. That was completely off our radar. Like, I was not expecting that at all. They weren't the initial team. They were loving that we were going. They were helping us in every way they could. But, like, that was, wow. And then August 2 years ago, they moved to Chapel Hill. And then the Loebs came every month and helped us and worshiped. But, like, life and logistics wouldn't let them move. And, you know, all these different things, jobs and housing and all that. And then 2 years ago, it was right around August, they got released. And then I got this phone call, and this isn't all in chronological order, from the Langs. And they're like, Scott, I believe, was like, so Matthew, just want to let you know this job situation. I've applied for this job in, of all places, Chapel Hill. Oh, wow. So here come the Langs. And then the Forsters, you know, then they move. And, you know, and then so team was a real word. And the team both from Mooresville and the team with you guys that are already here in Chapel Hill. But the way that my mind interpreted that word initially was not at all the way that it came about. But I've learned that expect the unexpected. Expect that God will always fulfill His word. But God will not always fulfill His word in the way that your mind interpreted the way that He would fulfill His word. Right? Why is that? Because we get disillusioned. We become disheartened. And we're like, God, you did not, you know? And it, well, it's either I did not yet, or it's I did, but I did not in the way that you interpreted what the word was. Finish up. So now you can see why Abraham's faith was credited to his account as righteousness before God. And this declaration was not just spoken over Abraham, but also over us. For when we believe and embrace the one who brought our Lord Jesus back to life, perfect righteousness will be credited to our account as well. That's just plain salvation. We've all done that. Jesus was handed over to be crucified for the forgiveness of our sins and was raised back to life to prove that He had made us right with God. So I wrote down this, and I believe we need to know this by experience, that as Abraham embraced the prophetic nature of his father, he himself inherited the mantle to see into the future and declare the promises over his children. We have the same spiritual DNA. I think it's around Genesis 18, somewhere around in there. I have to go and refresh my memory. But God begins to show him that for 400 years, your descendants are going to be held as slaves. Okay? And you know, the whole exile, slavery in Egypt before Moses. Okay, well, that was, let's see, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then, so that's three generations. And then it was Jacob's boy, Joseph, who got them to Egypt. So that's four generations. So you're looking at, and then their long lifespans. And I don't know. I'm just trying to guesstimate here. You're looking at like 400 or 500 years. God was showing Abraham a prophetic destiny, something that was negative that would happen to his clan, but for a purpose that will fulfill his promises. I mean, I'm just saying, like, this is the DNA that God's put in us. He wants to show us things even down the road. Let's just keep it simple for my sake. Even down the road of my lifespan, like, Lord, you want me to understand things down 30 years from now. You could show me that one of these days, this and this, or that and that, or this for your children, or that for your grandchildren. Okay. I believe that will grow in us as we continue to reflect the Father's heart. Why? Because in the Father's heart becomes this prophetic nature. Romans 12, the first spiritual gift. This prophetic nature of his heart that's rooted in identity and is fulfilled in destiny. Here's the goal. This is the kind of faith we need in order to accurately reflect the Father. We even need this kind of faith to operate in all the spiritual gifts more effectively. We need to see like Abraham develop, we need to see like Abraham. We need to develop mercy like Abraham. We need to demonstrate leadership like Abraham. We need to prophesy and exhort, encourage others around us like Abraham. Even in the gift of healing, have you ever noticed that the very first person healed in the Bible was Sarah, Abraham's wife? She had a barren womb. In order for the whole thing to even get started, the whole promise to be fulfilled, the gift of healing had to flow into this barren womb and open it up. This physical need, right? So even to express the gift of healing, to release the gift of healing, this heart like Abraham, this gift of faith. So why don't we pray for that? You guys good? Thanks for being patient with me. If you want to just stand up, and Eva, can you play the guitar with us and help us prophesy in that way? And why don't you just grab a hand? Grab a hand of the person near you if you can. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I know. Thank you, guys. Yeah, Lord. Thank you that by your Spirit, Lord, we can just stand here in unity. God, we just think back to all the impossibilities in our lives. God, all the impossibilities. I know, for one, it was impossible for me to get saved. And you made it possible, Lord. I know it was impossible for Chuck to get saved, but you saved even him. I'm just picking. Lord, from the families you've given us and the homes where we live, Lord. And speaking of homes, Lord, this building right here, this is impossible for us to like have such a beautiful house to worship in, Lord. God, and you're calling us on to greater and deeper and bigger things. So, Lord, right now, we just rest in you, God. We just tap into you by your Spirit. We just thank you, Father, for the faith of Christ that you put in Abraham all those centuries ago. And Lord, we ask you right now by faith for an impartation of faith. Even from Abraham, from Father Abraham. God, that thing that you put in him all those centuries ago, we're asking you, Dad, would you put in us? Would you impart into us even now, God, an impartation of the faith of Christ, the faith that moves mountains, the faith that opens blind eyes, the faith that opens, that sets the captives free. Yes, even the faith that raises the dead. God, we ask you to enlarge our container of faith. We ask you to enlarge and expand the measure of faith that you gave us at salvation, both individually and corporately. We ask, we say, floodgates of faith, burst open right now. Burst open right now. Just see the floodgates of faith just bursting open in our lives. And we just declare increase, 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 increase. We prophesy a gift of faith coming upon you for finances. A gift of faith coming upon you for salvations. A gift of faith coming upon you for healings. There's a special gift of faith for miracles. Like, I'm talking defy the laws of physics miracles. Like, you know how Jesus was transported in the Spirit across the Sea of Galilee? How Philip was transported in the Spirit? It's incapable in physics. It's impossible. I'm talking about like Jesus walked on water. That's impossible in physics. It doesn't happen. That's the gift of faith that came upon Peter. It was imparted upon Peter. Don't you think it can come upon you? The gift of faith, God, being released right now into our hearts. Shamba rumu sandai. Hunda rabakanda. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, God. Just that flow from your river. We just receive that flow from your river, God. Yeah, we just corporately say yes, God. We corporately say yes, God. Even when we don't feel it, we say yes, God. Even when we don't see it, we say yes, God. We ask you to give us now the eyes of faith. Give us the eyes to see what is not seen in the natural. Give us the eyes to see those descendants that Abraham saw. Give us the eyes to see those things that will be needed down the road even. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, I want to just keep praying one more thing. I just feel like the Lord wants to release courage.
Yes.
Release an encouragement to our hearts this morning. This morning, Matthew and I both got up and we were in separate rooms, but he came back to pray with me and he grabbed my hand and we realized we had gotten up this morning and just put on the same t-shirts. It's not these. But the
we were in two different rooms.
And we were in. We had put on this T-shirt that we both have, and it's this star on the front, and on the back it's got the scripture, "Be strong and courageous." And we felt like, I mean, it was so random. We both put these T-shirts on this morning that we felt like the Lord was speaking to us that He wanted to release courage to our hearts to believe for the unseen. To believe for the things that are not as though they were. And so, Lord, I just pray right now, I just declare that the courage and the strength of Christ would be infused into us this morning. That as we receive your faith, the faith of Christ, that the courage of Christ would be released into us. Lord, I just speak that in to Sherry right now. I just see something over you right now. I just speak the courage of Christ to be infused into you this morning, Sherry. Lord, I just ask you right now that you have for her, Lord, that you have called her to, Lord Jesus, that right now that the courage of Christ, the strength of Christ would be infused into her heart, into her mind, into her body right now, Lord. We just speak the courage, the encouragement, the courage of Christ to rise up. To rise up, Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
Lord, we thank you that our hearts are being encouraged this morning as Matthew is speaking, Lord God, that our hearts are being encouraged by you to believe for the things that are not and to speak that though they are, Lord Jesus. I just thank you for that right now.
Yes, God. And I just declare over mom and dad, Steve and Martha, God's not done with you yet. There's a prophetic roar that comes from your bellies that'll absolutely shift destinies and pathways in people's lives. God said that in the last days, young men would see visions and old men would dream dreams. And this goes for all you old men and women. Don't be offended. I called you old. Older, you seniors. It's because it's so easy for us young guys to dream. Because we got our whole life in front of us. But what's really supernatural is when George and Susan and Chuck and Janet and Steve and Martha and anybody else, not trying to leave anybody out. But when you begin to dream a dream as if you were 25, like you begin to dream a dream and be like, God, bless God, I'm going to, there is more for me. There is a path ahead. Listen, you know, biblically, they would say to themselves, even if we don't see this in our lifetime, it may be a dream that someone else picks up and is supposed to run with it. So I just see this and I want to commend you guys because I see this dream, George, in your heart, George Everdeen. I see this dream in your heart. Like, keep dreaming. This, it's related to this faith. Don't let these dreams die.
That's right. That's
it's
right.
Supernatural. We just fan the flames of faith over these lives, over these hearts. We just fan those flames. Fan those flames of faith. Let those dreams never die. Let those new dreams even rise. New dreams like something you've never thought about before. Let those new dreams. New dreams, God. We pray for the strength to dream.
And like when the Lord called Abraham out and he said, look up into the sky, what do you see? I just feel like the Lord is wanting us he's wanting to cause us to see. He's wanting to cause us to see.
That's good, yeah.
It's like when we see things as He sees them, we can grab hold. We can take hold. We can believe for the things. We can call forth those things that are not as though they were. So, Lord, I ask you this morning that you would anoint our eyes to see. You would anoint our eyes to see, Lord. I believe that you're already beginning to do that, Lord. That many of us are starting to see. We're starting to see things that you are speaking to us. You're opening our eyes to see supernaturally beyond what we see in the natural. And Lord, I ask you right now that you would anoint us, you would anoint our lips to call things that are not as though they were. Let the faith arise in our spirit. Let us be a generation that calls forth to the next generation, declaring the truths, declaring the goodness of God in the land of the living, that we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of living. Let the waters rise within us, Lord God. Let the Holy Spirit well within us. Burst forth from the depths. Remove the debris. If there's been anything that's blocking that flow of your Holy Spirit in us, Lord, I just speak to that debris right now to be removed in Jesus' name. Let the wells be unstopped right now in Jesus' name. Let the flow of the Holy Spirit be released in each one of you. In each one of you right now in Jesus' name.
Amen. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to prophesy in tongues. If you don't have the gift of tongues yet, that's okay. Just make it up. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. Just receive. Just receive it right now. We're just going to prophesy in tongues, but before we do, I just want to say too, there's some younger people in here. I picked on the old people. Now let me pick on the young people, and you don't, it seems impossible. Like, yes, God, I got big dreams, but I can't figure out how that in the world, like how in the world? Like God said, Moses, go back and say to Pharaoh. And he's like, how? Like, I don't even talk good. He's like, don't focus on the how, Moses. Focus on the who. Who has sent you? And I'm saying to you, T and Elizabeth, who has sent you? I'm saying to you, Chris and Lucy and Tim and Esther and let's see, Katura and Jordan and Gabe and all my kids and Joel and Ava and who am I missing here? And Ken and Tracy, you're in the young group, the young people crowd. I'm saying to you, focus on who. Focus on who. You don't have to figure out how is this ever going to happen. Who has sent you? Who will accomplish what He has called you to? Who is the one that will show you the hows as each step of faith is required for you to unfold? So let's just begin to raise up our voices. And as we do, the eyes of faith are going to arise in our hearts. Shondarabakabaruma. Keep going.